As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, today is a meaningful and reflective Sunday, as this is our last worship service of 2025. We usually begin a new year with good plans, hopes, and dreams. As the year comes to an end, we naturally pause and reflect on our lives this year. You may remember moments of joy, sadness, hope, fear, grace, hurt, success, and struggle. You might recall certain relationships, major events, or key turning points. How was your life in 2025? As you look back on this year, there are three important questions you must ask as Christians. How was your relationship with God? How were your relationships with your family, fellow believers, and neighbors? And did your lives reflect the heart of Christ? These three questions are deeply rooted in the greatest commandment God has given us, which is the foundation and very core of the Christian life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And love your neighbors as yourself. If you can answer these three questions with confidence, it means you are walking closely with God. But if you can't, it may mean you are distancing yourself from Him, or you are slowly drifting away. Some of you may be unsure. When we think of our relationship with God as our spiritual health, there are clear signs that show when we are distancing ourselves from the Lord. The sign may look like this. First, you no longer hear from God. Even when you pray and read the Bible, you feel empty or distracted. Or you may want to reduce or avoid your time with Him. You become less sensitive to God's guidance. And you still go your own way, even though you know His teaching. Second, your sense of thankfulness diminishes. Joy fades, and life feels heavy. You increasingly find yourself blaming others, circumstances, or even God. Uncertainty and worry dominate your heart. You struggle to trust Him, and your decisions may be guided more by human desires or fear than by faith. Third, your heart grows restless and becomes more easily irritated by others or by events. Small annoyances feel bigger, and you find it difficult to show love, gentleness, kindness, patience, mercy, and forgiveness. Lastly, you pull away from the community, avoid fellowship with other believers, and lose interest in serving others. Your faith becomes increasingly private. Looking at all of this together, when you drift away from the Lord, you may experience spiritual dryness in prayer and Bible reading, loss of joy, repeated sin, and restlessness, withdrawal, from community and others, and no spiritual fruit, then you will walk in darkness, stumble along the way, and not know where you are going. Of course, none of us are free from these spiritual struggles because our faith is still growing and not yet perfect. But if they happen to often persist and even grow stronger, we need to take a serious look at where we stand in the relationship with God. The reality is none of us has a perfect relationship with God because we all fall short of His glory. What matters most is always being aware of where we are and continually turning back to God every moment and every part of our lives. God doesn't want us to live in darkness. He always watches over us and guides us to return to Him. Jeremiah 24 is said during the one of the darkest seasons in Israel's history. Babylon has invaded. The king and leaders have been taken into exile. The future feels uncertain. The nation is politically broken and spiritually confused. It feels like God has gone silent. But in one of Israel's darkest hours, God speaks. Jeremiah 24, verses 6 and 7. My eyes will watch over them for their good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up, not tear them down. I'll plant them, not uproot them. I'll give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people. I will be their God. For they will return to me with all their heart. God speaks a word of hope to His people in the midst of exile and despair. Though they have been taken from their land, He is still watching over them. Their sufferings is not forgotten, nor is it meaningless. God is actively working for their good. He promised to bring them back, to build them up, and to plant them firmly. His restoration goes deeper than their circumstances. It reaches their heart. God is the initiator of transformation. True return to Him begins with His grace, changing their heart. He gives us a heart that truly knows Him, a heart that recognizes Him as Lord. Because of this, we return to Him with all our heart, becoming His people once again, experiencing forgiveness, renewal, and the fullness of His faithful love. So returning to God is not just about going back to a place or following religious practices. God first works in the heart, and it is through this transforming work that His people are able to return fully with their whole hearts, experiencing true restoration and peace in their relationship with Him. Where in your life do you feel in darkness? Have you ever felt alone in your suffering, burdened by pain that no one else seems to care about? Does it feel like God is silent or working slowly? Do you still live in the past? Do you deeply long for the life God has promised? God says He is watching over you, keeping you and guiding you wherever you are. Remember this. Often What keeps us from returning to God are the things we hold tightly in our hands, the things we just can't let go of. We cling to them as if they give us security or control. But in reality, they quietly keep our hearts from turning to Him. Until we let them go, we cannot fully experience the freedom, peace, and restoration God has for us. You need to open your heart, fully rely on Him, and submit everything to Him. You will experience God transforming your heart and guiding you to return to Him with all your heart. He will bring you back and build you up firmly. What does it mean to live in the Lord after returning to Him? Let's take a look at John 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Verse 9 reveals the heart of God. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. God's very nature is love. Returning to Him is not about performing religious acts. It is about entering into the love of Christ, who pursues us, restores us, and holds us forever. Love is who God is, and it is in this love that our hearts find true life, restoration, comfort, and peace. But in everyday life, we don't always love God as with all our hearts, or love our neighbors as ourselves. One of the main reasons is that we don't fully understand what love truly is. At a deeper level, the problem is that our hearts are often drawn to someone or something we trust and value more than God. If we truly loved God, He would always be the center of our worship, the object of our highest affection. We would not give our love and trust to anyone or anything else. But when something else captures our hearts more than Him, that is sin at its core. It pulls us away from God and leads us into darkness. That's why God insisted he must be at the center of our lives. Let's imagine this. If everything you care about was suddenly taken away, your family, your job, your possessions, your friends, and all you had left was God, would it be enough for you? Or would you feel desperate and completely lost? You don't even want to think about it, right? But that's what Jesus intentionally did for us. We celebrate his first coming this past week. He left the glory of heaven, humbled himself, and came to this earth fully dependent on the Father. You have no idea what leaving the glory of heaven meant to him. What you can grasp is this. It would have been far from anything we know. Losing everything we treasure all at once would not even begin to compare. He gave up the exercise of his divine rights, trusted God completely, and fully surrendered himself to the Father's will. He showed us what it truly means to have God, who is love, at the center of our lives, and to live in perfect love and obedience. He did all of this because he loves us. As I mentioned earlier, we don't always love God with all our hearts and love our neighbors as ourselves. We may want to offer various reasons or excuses for this. But the truth is, we simply don't fully understand what true love really is. True love is loving others as Christ has loved us. Jesus said in verse 12 and 13, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." During his ministry on earth, Jesus welcomed Gentiles who came to him in faith and showed compassion to tax collectors, prostitutes, and those pushed to the margins. He patiently walked with disciples who often misunderstood him, argued about who was the greatest, and denied him and ran away in fear at the end. In the end, he was betrayed, condemned, mocked, spat upon, beaten, and nailed to the cross to bear the punishment for our sins. And even there, hanging on the cross, Jesus prayed for those who crucified him. He endured all of this to open the way for us to return to God, who is true love. This is the heart of Christ. No person, no circumstances, or no situation could stop the love of Christ. He loves those who disappointed him, those who wounded him, and those who far from him. And it is this love that calls us back and invites to live in. Through his sacrifice, the barrier of sin that separates us from God has been removed. His suffering reveals God's divine love and calls us to return, fully trusting him and letting him transform our hearts. In verse 16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." Long before we ever turn back to him, God has already chosen us. Unlike our decisions, which can be influenced, changed, or shaken by the world, his choice is firm, unchanging, and eternal. It is rooted in his perfect plan, his sovereign timing, his infinite wisdom, his almighty power, and his unfailing love. Because he has chosen us, our relationship with him is secure. And the purpose he has for our lives, to glorify himself and bear lasting fruit, will surely be fulfilled. We are never left to navigate our life alone in darkness. We are chosen, dearly loved, and held securely in the hands of God, who will never let us go. In verse 10-11, Jesus says, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete." In these verses, Jesus shows us how love, obedience, and joy are all connected in our relationships with him. When he says, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love," his focus is not on giving us a rule to follow. Obedience here flows naturally from a heart that is already rooted in his love. It is not about duty. It is about relationship. We feel deeper joy when we see the people we love, our children, our family, our friends, finding happiness more than when we enjoy it ourselves. Their happiness becomes our happiness. When they are in need or pain, we want to help, even if it requires sacrifice on our part. When they see that our help benefits them, any cost or effort we endured feels worth it because we love them. Our love is not perfect, but we still experience greater joy when we give and serve those we love. Focusing on their good rather than our own, because love and joy are all connected in these relationships. God's love is perfect. And the joy Jesus mentioned is complete because it comes from God himself. It flows from the truth that he chose us first, that his love surrounds us, and that he continually sustains us. Obedience, love, faithfulness, and joy are all part of life in Christ. To remain in him is to experience full, overflowing joy that strengthens us in trials and inspires us to love others sacrificially, just as he loves us. In this way, your life begins to be fully fulfilled and reflect his love in everything you do. In the last verse of today's scripture passage, Jesus said, "This is my command, love each other." When we truly love God, it starts to change how we treat people around us. We begin to love them in very real ways. We do not want to hurt them, take advantage of them, or treat them unfairly. We become more careful with our words. We stop spreading gossip. We stop tearing people down. We do not go looking for ways to sin against them. Our personal desires, preferences, and agendas no longer drive us. We willingly set them aside so that God's purpose, God's direction, and God's heart shape how we live and how we treat one another. Within our families and within the community of believers. We pursue seeing God in them and honoring their dignity. We humbly learn from one another, support one another, and build one another up so that His will be done in the lives of His people. But this godly life does not come from trying harder. It only becomes possible when we return to God and stay close to Him. As we remain in Him, His love shapes our heart and His light begins to fill us. And that light naturally flows into the way we live and serve others. How was your life in 2025? Were there a moment when you found yourself walking in darkness? Are you wondering what caused it? When you begin to drift away from God, something serious happens. Darkness slowly creeps in. Our own views and desires start to take the center of our lives. Our hearts grow colder. Our words become careless. We begin judging others as if we know everything. Relationships start to suffer. The farther we drift from God, the deeper darkness grows in our hearts and in our lives. This is why God continues to call us to return to Him. When you come back to Him, His light drives out the darkness, and our hearts are softened once again. From that restored relationship with God, a new way of living begins to grow, filled with the love, joy that flows into every relationship. But we will drop the ball often, and we need God's help every step of the way. That's why in verse 16, Jesus tells us to ask for whatever we need so that we can stay close to Him and remain in His love. We are invited to keep coming back to Him in prayer, trusting Him to guide us and give us the strength to love as He calls us to. He promised, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. He is faithful and He will keep the promise. As we wrap up 2025 and look ahead to 2026, what's on your heart? Whatever you're carrying, bring it to God. Ask Him to shape your heart, your plans, and your actions so that you may return to Him and remain in Him, and so that your life reflects His love and bears fruit for His kingdom and glory, individually and as a community together. Let us pray. as we bring this year to a close and look toward the new one, we come before you with open hearts. Thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ, and for calling us back to you. We confess that too often we have walked in darkness. Lord, shape our hearts and our minds and our actions. Teach us to love others as you have loved us, and bring glory to your name in all we do. Lord, fill us with your Spirit and guide our steps in 2026 so that we may remain in your love and our lives may be a testimony of your living presence to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you, stand to receive the blessings from the Lord, who always invites to return to him and to remain in him. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his heavenly peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. All God's people say,